go with me to the book of Proverbs. And I want you to look with me in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. For seniors, that's in the Old Testament. Some of you just, did he just insult us? No, 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 not at all. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 14. You found it? At least Mr. Ring has. Follow along as I read. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity.
So what in the world does that mean?
The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. A guy gets sick, a lady gets sick, and there's this strong desire in you to get better. Just that the mental thing that said, I'm tired of being sick. I want to get better. That's the essence of that verse, or the sense of that phrase in that verse. But the second phrase is where I'd like to stand on for a few moments this morning and speak to you from this passage. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be here this morning. And I pray that you will help me give the sense of your word this day. And may the students who are listening and those who are watching online, may we find strength and help. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is impossible to be in this room without having been wounded by someone in your life. It's impossible. Someone hurt you somewhere along the way. If you're saying no one's ever wounded me before, I think you really need to evaluate. I imagine, were I to ask for upraised hands, how many of you have been wounded since you've been in Bible college? So what is a wound? That which afflicts you, that which hurts you inside. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, nothing hurts me. I would, well, give me an opportunity. No, nothing hurts me. I don't think you're living a real life. Miss Drea gave a testimony earlier. Probably one of the bravest things I've ever seen done in this chapel. And to share her. There was that one time, though, Dre, where are you? I wore a skirt to chapel once. That was kind of brave. No, not really. You wear a skirt to chapel. The point is, I was wearing it. We're going to get to know each other over these years. I can feel it. It was incredibly brave to stand and say, I dealt with depression. For some of you, you're thinking, whoa, she's faculty. As if people don't have feelings all throughout their entire life. So she's a Christian. I smiled because, not because of your pain. I smiled because I knew where God led me this morning. Or really last night and confirmed this morning. And then with your testimony. I knew. So, well, Brother O'Malley, we're all Bible-believing Christians and we love God and everybody. Yeah, I know. And people get hurt. The very person who hurt you might well be in this room. The spirit can be wounded at home. The spirit can be wounded by family members. The spirit can be wounded by your friends. Your spirit could be wounded at work. Shamefully, your spirit could be wounded at church. Your spirit might have been wounded by a teacher or a preacher. A bus worker may have wounded you or someone else in authority in your life. And I realize even by preaching a message like this morning at a Bible college chapel, it could be quite a trigger for you. And I totally respect where you are. And I am not intending to trigger anyone. I'm merely intending to give you life help from the Word of God. Your spirit may have been wounded by careless words, by people who don't understand, and people who want to hurt others because they too were hurt. They too can wound you. The Spirit can be wounded when we listen to criticisms and when we dwell on those that criticize us. When our friends leave us, it can wound us. When our friends stop listening, it wounds us. When church members condemn, judge, and criticize, backbite, and blame, it too can wound you. Your spirit can be wounded when you hold on to things. Your spirit can be wounded when you choose to be alone and not fellowship with someone. Listen carefully to this one. Your spirit can be wounded when you let toxic people live rent-free in your head. Your spirit can be wounded when you dwell on your hurts. Your spirit can be wounded when churches cover up sin. Your spirit can be wounded when abusers go unpunished and you are shamed. I will tell you, Satan will gladly remind you, you're worthless, you're unwanted, you're disposable, you cannot be used by God or anyone. He'll tell you, you'll never be better, and you'll never heal, and you'll never be strong enough, and you'll never be good enough, and even say to you, you are not enough. Satan will say you deserved what happened to you. Satan will say you will not be able to trust again. Satan will tell you God failed you. And he cannot forgive you. And you are not to be believed. And you are far too gone. And you are to be blamed. Satan will tell you, you are not now, nor will you ever be worthy. Satan will even tell some, your abuser is believed and you are not. Satan will tell you, your past is broken. He'll tell you, you are broken. He will tell you, your future is broken. And Satan will tell you to stop trying because you're going to be hurt again. Our wounds do something for us. If you ask anybody over 30, your wounds shape who you are as an adult. You will craft your whole life based on how people hurt you. I want to give you tools at the beginning of your journey in adulthood to help you deal with whatever injustice occurred in your life. I will not mock your trigger. I will not mock what happened to you. I will believe what you said happened to you. And I will point you to the Word of God. And I think it was so brave of Miss Drea to say, and I sought medical help. I think that's wonderful. The truth is this. When the spirit is broken, what do? You're sick and you want to get better. And you have this will to live and you say, I'm tired of being sick. I just want to get better. But who can bear when the spirit is broken on the inside? What do when you feel like I am not believed and you feel like I cannot be trusted and you feel like you are not worth it and unworthy and you're starting to believe everything that Satan says? How do you process the wounds of the soul? Sometimes in life you get physical scars where you cut yourself in some effort and you hurt yourself that way. And you can point to that scar and say, that is where I got hurt. But when the wounds are on the inside, where do you point? And how are you going to deal with those wounds? I've learned. You can point to the wounds of the Spirit and say, this is where they hurt me. Or you can say, this is where God began to heal me. Solomon is asking the question. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Now, I've not given you any, quote, sermon points, but I'll give you four things to think about before I give you four other sermon points, which doesn't sound nearly as devastating to say I have 8 points. But if I have 2 sets of 4, you feel better about it. Remember this. You can write these down. Sage, you got it? Pen, paper, eyeliner. That's fine. There is no affliction. You can write this down. There is no affliction which is not sent by God for our good. I did that because Mrs. Mason was here for a double negative. But you're allowed some license. There is no affliction which is not sent by God for our good. The weight of God's affliction is His choosing. The number of our afflictions are His choosing. The measure of our afflictions are His choosing. And the duration of our afflictions are His choosing. But there is no affliction which is not sent by God that's not for our good. Everything is for our good. The second thing you should remember about these wounds or the afflictions that you face, they are short term compared to eternity. Scripture refers to them as light, momentary, and refers to life itself as a vapor. I think you should know, number three, when dealing with the afflictions or the wounds in our spirit, that Christ is full sufficiency for every wound. Christ is full sufficiency for every wound. Paul spoke of grace being sufficient for his wounds. David spoke of miry clay and horrible pits. Paul told us that God comforts us with the comfort that we need. He is the God of all comfort. Isaiah said, He is the God that exchanges beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for the oil of mourning. And lastly, Jeremiah speaks of a balm in Gilead. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 8. The fourth thing I want you to write down, there is no affliction which is not sent by God for our good. Our afflictions are short term compared to eternity. In Christ is full sufficiency for every wound. And the fourth one I want you to see is this. God hears, knows, and sees. He knows when the spirit is broken. He sees you when you're hurt, when your heart is broken, when the wounds on the inside outnumber the wounds on the outside. He sees that. He sees when you would rather take a physical wound than another broken spirit wound. As long as we're going to allow sinners to come to this college and live in the dorms, people's feelings will be hurt. If you go out in ministry somewhere to serve the Lord, you will be hurt. So, well, I want to go to a perfect place. Then don't go yourself. You're not perfect. What I found in life and ministry is hurt people hurt people. When you've been hurt, you want to hurt someone as badly as you've been hurt. And that's not healthy. And it's not Christ-like. But to know that God sees. Over the course of my ministry, there have been many times I've dealt with those who've gone through physical and sexual abuse in their ministry, in their life through ministry. It's very difficult when the person who hurt you is believed and you are dismissed. It's very difficult when we want to protect his ministry, when his carcass should be hauled to jail. There is no reason that preachers should hurt people. There's no reason that anyone should be hurt in our churches, but they are. Since I cannot change the former equation, I'm just wanting to hand you some solutions. And I want you in Jeremiah chapter 8. And I want to hand you some life principles to help that when the spirit becomes wounded, what do we do? Jeremiah chapter 8. In chapter 8, and I'll not take the whole time to read the chapter, but I want you to know in verse 4 through 7, Jeremiah is perplexed because of people and they're turning from God. In verse 8 through verse 13, the people's spirit had collapsed. And in chapter 8, verse 18 through chapter 9 and verse number 1, we begin to see Jeremiah's love for the people. But I'm coming to this text for one question. What do we do when the spirit is wounded? What do we do when the spirit is broken? What do we do when the scars are in the inside? Chapter 8, verse 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. That is an empathetic leader.
So what does that mean?
He felt for his people. Do not go into the ministry, men, and become administrative in your thinking. You're a shepherd before you coordinate or organize any ministry. We don't need another professional class generation of preachers. So, worldwide, I believe we ought to be professional. Agreed. Yes. But we don't need people who forget that people are the main thing. Chapter 8, verse 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Then he asks the question, rhetorically, is there no balm in Gilead? The couple of things here quickly to note. One, a balm is, think about like you have lip balm, chapstick. So some sort of salve that's there to put on the wound. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Gilead was the place where their trees, these trees grew, that they would take the sap from those trees and make a medicine, an ointment to put on people. So he's tapping into their cultural knowledge. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Again, Gilead was filled with doctors. And then he said, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I think I read this and I see four things that I want you to write down. Number one, there is a wound. The prophet called it. He saw that there was a wound. He felt for them. Chapter 9, verse 1 talks about his empathy or his passion for them as well. But I want you to know when it comes, when we come from Proverbs to here and we make that journey, I want you to realize this. Your wound is seen and believed by God. Hebrews 4:15 reminds us we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Your wounds are felt by God. Jesus wept when his friends were there at the graveside of Lazarus. He is the God of all comfort. He's the man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Your wounds are felt by God. Your tears are stored by God. Those times you went back to your bedroom or your dorm room and you just put your face in your pillow and you cried until your pillowcase was soaked. He saw those tears. He knew those tears. And we have a God who's so concerned about tears, He records them, He stores them, and one day He will wipe them all from our eye. I guarantee you God cares about your wound. Your wound is known by God. He knows you and He carries it. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He knows the taste of death. He knows the pain of sorrow. He bore the sorrow. He wept until there was sweat as great drops of blood. Your wound is known and born, carried by God. Hagar knew this. What did she say? Thou, God, seest me. I've talked with abuse victims, and they said, where was God when this was happening to me? I tell you, you have to know first and foremost, God believes your wounds. So, well, nobody'd even believe me. God knows there is a wound. And that affirmation itself is a huge blessing to know, wow, God saw Hagar. So, Brother O'Malley, Hagar was a mess. Yeah, and so are you. The truth is, we're all in a terrible place. And were it not for God's grace, we wouldn't even be here. Job knew God believed him. And Isaiah knew this as well. And Jeremiah's question affirms the fact, okay, there's a wound, because if it did not, then why would he be saying, is there any balm left in Gilead? Are there any doctors that are there? It wasn't a dispute of the womb. It was a wound. It was an affirmation of the wound. I just want to say something personal. I believe you. If you've been hurt by someone in church, I regret that happened to you. And I wished my apology would only be enough. But if you could just know this, I believe you. You say, well, why are you saying that? Because there's a lot of people in our movement who've been hurt and no one believes them. God forbid we have one more institution cover up sin. And maybe this isn't for you today, but it might be for you tomorrow. Maybe this isn't for you today, but for a friend. But you have to know, number one, there is a wound. Number two, you need to know there is a medicine. What is the medicine for the soul? What is the medicine for the spirit that is wounded or broken? Well, I'm going to tell you, there is a remedy equal to your wound in the person of God. There is a remedy equal to your wound in the power of God. There is a remedy equal to your wound in the promises of God. There is a remedy equal to the timeline of God for your wound. The Bible you hold in your hands is the balm of Gilead. 2 years ago this weekend, I had open heart surgery. And I spent many, many nights yearning for dawn. And many, many days yearning for night. Hours and hours in pain. But the only thing that would salve my soul was not a list of my credentials to God, of why I didn't deserve something. But it was the psalmist's words in Psalm 119, verse 171. It has been good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. If the problem comes in your life and it makes you run to Jesus, that's okay. Say, but I still hurt. I know you do, but the best balm of all is the Word of God. There's a remedy for the wound of sin. The balm of Gilead is when we keep our mind stayed on Him. He gives perfect peace. He helps the spirit. He sees the need you have and helps us. He shows himself strong on our behalf. He has plans for us and we can trust his plans. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. His perfect love will cast out our fear. He understands joy and gives perfect joy. He is your leader and you can trust him. He is the one who sees you. So I say to you, while there is a wound, there's also a medicine. You're not left with just a wound. There's help. Number three. The third thing I need you to know is there is a physician. Notice the verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? We had the affirmation of the wound. With the recognition of what the balm is. But may I remind you, we have the great physician on our case. And he is the only one that can touch the heart and touch the spirit. When fear grips me, he alone can treat me. When pain sweeps me, he alone can assist me. When loneliness comes, he alone abides with me. When depression arrives, he alone walks with me. When oppression comes, he alone protects me. When my mind is not at peace, he speaks peace. When my suffering is more than I can bear, he gives me a way to escape. When my way is unclear, he leads me to the rock which is higher than I. When I don't know what to do, when I don't know where to go, when I don't know how to make it, he alone does. When I face trials, he's there to treat me. When I face trauma, he is there to treat me. When I face addictions, he is there to treat me. When I face battles and become wounded, he alone is with me to treat me. You are not by yourself. Amen. Number four. There is a decision. We believe there's a wound. We believe there's medicine. We believe there's a physician. And I believe lastly there's a decision. The question that is asked by the prophet, and keep in mind, while the prophet is speaking, this is recorded for us as inspired. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? If there is a medicine for the wound which exists, and there is a doctor, why aren't we going to him? Why aren't you seeking remedy? Why aren't you seeking refuge in him? Why aren't you running to the Gilead of his word? Don't ignore the help that's offered in the word of God. Survivors, they find help and hope in the balm of Gilead. When the sinner comes to Gilead, they find healing. When the preacher comes to Gilead, he finds healing. When the battered wife goes to Gilead, she finds healing. When abused kids go to Gilead, they find healing. When the lonely come to Gilead, they find healing. When the discouraged and the forsaken and the grieving run to Gilead, they find healing. It's my first time on campus this semester. I don't know your story. I mean, I know several of you, but I don't know your story. But God does. And whatever wounds you carry today, even things you've never spoken of, because I'll assure you, this is probably not the normal kind of chapel message to have someone speak of your spiritual and emotional welfare. But you're going to go through life and you're going to have people you'll meet. And you're going to have to remember these things. Amen. And some of you have got your own hang-ups that you're dealing with. That's okay. You're in a good place. To the best of my knowledge, Brother Hanke, they're in a safe place. And I mean that with the fullest cultural representation I can. It's okay. We're not going to let anybody hurt you. But don't dwell where you won't grow.